everyone, and welcome to another episode of What the Hell? Yeah, let's do that together.
What the hell?
And those two guests are joining us right now to talk about something that oftentimes when people come off a ship, what do they say?
What the hell?
Yeah, because they got sick with something called the norovirus. And so that's what we want to talk about with our guest, Leo Lee, who's an infectious disease specialist, and travel expert Angel Castellanos. And gentlemen, thanks for being with us. And first of all, why don't we describe what this virus is? Let's start with the doctor, because that's kind of right in your your lane.
Yeah, the virus itself is a piece of RNA, basically. And it's basically
a piece of what?
RNA. It's a genetic material, and it's highly contagious. And basically, it's transmitted by vomit and feces.
RNA is different than DNA.
Right.
RNA is?
It's a different type of genetic material.
Okay.
All right.
And so, for those who aren't medical doctors, that's what that
is. Probably more than you want to know.
But probably more.
It's basically a virus that is easily transmitted from person to person.
But that's kind of interesting how that happens, because it happens because of the way it's transmitted. Because you haven't washed your hands.
Right.
Can it happen any other way? Because
And certainly, you can certainly, it's because your hands have come into contact with the virus, either through a sick person or contaminated surface.
So the idea that you might get nauseous on a ship, that could be from the motion of the ocean.
Absolutely.
Right? But it could also be because you've gotten a bug.
Absolutely.
How do you know the difference?
Well, usually if you get motion sickness, you feel nauseous and you vomit and it usually gets better, or you take medications for that. With the norovirus, you have nausea, vomit, you get crampy abdominal pain. You have crampy abdominal pain. You may have some low-grade fevers, maybe some minor body aches, and just a feeling of not being well.
One of the things I've always done on every cruise I've ever been on is to get a patch behind my ear that distributes over time motion sickness medication. And it's always worked for me. And even when the ship was in swells and I would see people turning green, I was still okay. But if I had turned green, it didn't mean I had the norovirus.
Right.
It could just mean that I got nauseous from the ocean.
From the ocean, absolutely.
Yeah. So when this happens, it's makes news, but it's not that common. It happens from time to time.
Actually, it's very common. That's what most people don't realize, that norovirus is actually the number one cause of acute gastroenteritis in the United States, and it affects about 21 million people annually.
21 million people.
That's
extraordinary.
Right.
And so why do people get it? It's not just on ships.
No, it's actually out in the community. Most people don't recognize outbreaks because the vast majority of individuals who get it don't go to the doctor for it. They kind of wait it out, power through it. But usually, but if you look at statistics, usually that 21 million cases translates into about 2 million outpatient visits. And for those really sick individuals, about 70,000 can actually be hospitalized. And there may be about 800 deaths associated with that per year.
How many people do you think you see a year who have this?
Quite a few.
Do you deal with it to not get it?
Good hand washing, good personal hygiene. When patients come in, they have a diarrheal type illness or vomiting, we wear gowns and gloves.
What do you make them do? Do they have to clean their hands and stuff
before
you see
them? No,
the
patients are usually in isolation. We put them in a room by themselves. And then we also have visitors, our staff, whenever they enter the room, they wear gowns and gloves, personal protection devices. And when they leave the room, we always have them wash their hands with soap and water.
So it's interesting. Sometimes, you know, I guess the person that's not very tuned in would say, well, that ship, they're not very clean. But it's not necessarily the fault of the ship, is it?
I think you're already susceptible to a low immune system, because if you're flying to your destination, you know, you're dealing with jet lag and possible dehydration, which can lower your immune system. So I think cruise ship travelers are already ripe for the picking for the norovirus. But to take that statistic with a grain of salt, you know, in North America, you have a 1 in 15 chance, according to the CDC, of getting norovirus. On a cruise ship, it's 1 in 5,000. So I think taking the precautions and thinking about your trip a little bit ahead of time and preparing, we'll talk about travel insurance in a little bit, but what you pack, I think, does matter, especially for a cruise ship.
I think the point I was trying to make was they could scrub that ship down here to Sunday, and if somebody walks on the ship with this bug, it could still get everybody sick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, because you don't have control over the passengers, obviously.
So what do you do when you go on a trip? Now, I know you're going to recommend insurance, but what can you do to keep from getting the symptoms to where you have to get the insurance.
Mm-hmm. No, it's actually good, just common sense. If you observe another passenger being getting sick, obviously avoid the area. Notify the ship staff so they can actually disinfect the area. As you're making your way around the ship, you are going to be in contact with a variety of high-touch surfaces, including elevator buttons, rails, doorknobs. We always tell our passengers, or actually tell our travelers, when you go aboard the ship and you're traveling, make sure you wash your hands. That's probably the best advice we can give.
Let me ask have you ever been on a ship that had an illness like this where you had to go and deal with patients?
No, fortunately I have not.
So you've never been called in to deal with
it? Never. No, all the ships have their own doctors, which is why it's easy for them to recognize an outbreak.
Because they know it, they've seen
it. Because they see, because we're all on one ship there, and there's only one doctor on board. So if he sees multiple cases, then obviously they can recognize an outbreak.
Angel, have you ever seen this on a ship?
I have not, actually. But, you know, I have been river cruising a lot lately, and those ships are a lot smaller. They still have the infirmary, and they still have the doctor. But I've never seen an outbreak that's of the magnitude that we just had here.
You know, I've told you guys before, I've been on something in the neighborhood of about 17 cruises, give or take. I've never seen it.
No, it's actually not that common. Actually, if you look at the statistics, actually the CDC has a program called the Vessel Sanitation Program, and their whole purpose is to prevent the transmission and to control diseases along ships, specifically gastrointestinal illnesses. But when you look at the statistics between 2008 and 2014, there were 74 million travelers. Out of that 74 million, a little bit less than 130,000 actually contracted acute gastroenteritis.
You know, it's interesting when you have numbers like that. It's a small percentage, but it's 100,000 people nonetheless.
Right. And out of those 130,000 people, 1 in 10 was involved in an actual outbreak. So actually, so far this year with the CDC program, there have only been 10 outbreaks reported.
So what's the treatment for this? Is it antibiotics, or what is the treatment for this?
It's strictly symptomatic treatment. There is no treatment for the virus itself.
Because viruses don't, you don't use
antibiotics. It's going to run its course. Most people will feel sick for 1 to 3 days, and during that period of time, we tell them to get rest, push fluid so they don't become dehydrated. And some of the signs of dehydration are dry mouth, making less urine, feeling dizzy when you stand up. If you develop those symptoms, make sure you push the fluids.
Is there anything that you can take, like, to avoid a cold? You know, you take one of those products or zinc or something like that.
Right.
Is there anything that you can do to
multivitamin.
Today?
No, there is nothing out there on
so
the market.
So taking overdoses of vitamin C isn't going to help
Won't make any difference.
Isn't that interesting? So,
well, for me, you know, in addition to the advice of washing my hands, I love to bring the antibacterial wipes, and I try to not use the public restroom on the cruise ship if I can avoid it. So I try to use the restroom in my own cabin, and I try to avoid the buffets as much as possible. They seem really fun and the food looks really great, but again, those places where everyone is touching every single utensil, I think, you know, you're really kind of asking for
that draws a picture in my mind of Las Vegas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So would that be a place where you might get the norovirus at a buffet in Las Vegas at a fancy hotel?
Absolutely. It could happen. Yeah.
I always say that the cruise ships are like big Las Vegas style hotels on the water. So you would take the same sort of precautions that you would in those big public situations.
Are there other illnesses that you can contract in large crowds like that, or is that really fundamentally the number one?
That is probably the number one thing. Obviously, the other thing at this time of year is influenza. But that's actually more a respiratory illness characterized by fever, body aches, cough, and a runny nose. And although we refer to norovirus infections as the stomach flu, it truly is not the flu. It's a different type of illness.
It really is interesting to me that over the years, cruising has become more and more popular, and more people have started going on cruises, and ships have gotten bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And now they're massive, and they have water slides and roller coasters, and who knows
what. A lot of regions are experiencing double-digit growth when it comes to cruising. You know?
Why?
Well, it's an easy way of getting around. You know, sometimes the price is right, and, you know, it's enjoyable. It's great for families to get together as well. And, you know, if you want to take a trip to the Bahamas or to the Caribbean, which is the number one cruise zone in the world, you know, that's kind of the logical first place to think about.
So I'm going to ask you, is it unfair to blame a cruise line because people got norovirus?
Probably is. I would say so, because there's really no way you can prevent it. There are certain things beyond your control.
I would agree with it as well, because you know, there are systems in place to try their best and legally follow all of the rules and regulations of CLIA or the CDC. So it does happen, though.
Let me ask you a couple of questions, Angel, because you deal specifically with travel. What is the number one way that people are vacationing now?
Well, it really sort of depends on who you're talking about, because when it comes to the North American traveler, they're the number one cruise ship customer in the world.
But Airbnbs have played into this.
Airbnb have more accommodations than all of the big hotel chains combined.
So how is that in line with other forms of vacationing?
Well, you know, that's really for the independent traveler, and there's a little bit of a risk there almost, because you don't know what you're going to get. You really don't know if the Airbnb is going to be like the picture shown on the website. And then one of my great friends just had a situation where he hired an Airbnb, and then they said that he trashed the place, which he absolutely didn't. So I now have this personal rule where I take pictures before and after when I check out of the B&B, but I was just in Paris. And, you know, there's not a lot of big, wonderful hotels in the Parisian neighborhood, which
Paris,
I love.
Yeah, Paris, California doesn't have many. Oh, you're talking about France.
I'm talking about Paris, France. So in the Marais, in the 4th District.
What the hell, you know?
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, so I rented an Airbnb, and that was great for that particular sort of trip. So I'm an independent traveler. I advocate smart, independent travel. So Airbnbs definitely play into the mix.
And see, I like the Airbnb idea. I think that's kind of cool, but I can understand where you can have these issues of it wasn't what I thought it was going to be, because a friend of mine just had that situation.
You can also use points to book Airbnb. So if you have an American Express Platinum, you can use your points.
Well, what about like Wyndham points for your timeshares?
Not so much. Maybe your Hilton points for a Hilton hotel.
Maybe. All right. All right. Well, so the bottom line is that you go on a vacation, you might get sick. You might not get sick. It's a roll of the dice. It's not because of the hotel, it's not because of the cruise company that somebody came into that place with the bug and didn't wash their hands properly.
Absolutely. It can happen on any particular trip. I was traveling with my father-in-law once, and he got very, very ill with the influenza in Paris. But because he took the necessary steps of having all of his medical documentation in order, we were able to walk into a pharmacy in Paris. And because Western Europe practices the Latin-based medical system, they were able to verify everything, get his prescription going. And, you know, the French medical system, 50 euros, you see a doctor, you go to the pharmacy, it's a couple of euros for the medication, and you're done. So I think as long as you're aware and prepared, you can really focus on having the next best trip of your life.
Let's talk about the insurance for a moment. The idea, when I travel, I get travel insurance. But you're saying there's another kind of insurance I should be getting.
Yeah, it really depends on the kind of insurance that you get. So for frequent travelers who are taking two trips a year or maybe even considering more than one cruise a year, I would recommend an annual plan, because what that includes is the all-important medical insurance and medical evacuation insurance. And that is absolutely key if something does happen on a cruise ship, where they have every right to kick you off of that cruise ship because they might not be able to provide the medical attention that you need, or if there's some sort of outbreak. So they'll drop you off at the next port, and it's up to you to not only foot the medical bill, but get yourself evacuated.
Since you're such an expert in the travel industry, let me just ask you this.
He's
okay. Worried now.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. Oftentimes when this sort of thing happens, the virus spreads, ships don't give you your money back.
They don't.
Ships don't give you another free cruise. Is that because it really wasn't, in their estimation, their fault? Is because somebody brought this on and it was just the luck of the roll?
Well, sometimes they try to offer you something if you've, you know, somehow slipped and broke your leg or have the flu or something like that. But if there's an outbreak, they really try to do damage control, and you might get some sort of compensation in
well, what's
an email.
Your experience, though, or your knowledge about that?
Yeah, I think it's really nominal compared to what actually does happen to the travelers. They're really not offering much, and that's because the contract that travelers are signing really doesn't benefit the traveler whatsoever. It benefits the cruise ship company.
See, what's interesting is, like, in a lot of situations, you're a captive audience. You're stuck there. You're not going to be able to jump off the ship and go ride a fish all the way home. So it really is kind of a tricky deal. All right, doctor, final word. What do you want to tell people?
Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands.
And the right way to do that is 20 seconds? Because I used to hear 40 seconds.
No, 20 seconds is perfectly fine. If you've been in a public restroom, you'll notice people sometimes don't wash your hands, which is not okay. Yeah. And some of those who do wash hands do a very cursory job. But really, the most effective way of washing your hands is to get them wet, lather them up with a good amount of soap.
Do and then 20 seconds, you 20 just count second. It, right?
You one, can one, two, count three. In your head and sing a song in your head, happy birthday to me, a couple times. make sure you do the palms, you do the back of the hands in between the fingers. You rinse it off and use a paper towel. And use that paper towel to turn off the faucet if they don't have one of the automatic sensors. And also use that same paper towel to use on the doorknob and the handle going out so you don't get your hands dirty again.
I know many people that do that, by the way. And that's a very common practice. Mm-hmm. And that's hopefully to avoid getting a bug.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you notice in grocery stores and different places they will offer antibacterial wipes that you can wipe the shopping cart off before you get into the store. Same reason?
And cruise ship companies do have the dispensers, you know, throughout the ship as well. So, I mean, they are making an effort.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Yeah. They do that. In fact, a different kind of effort. I digress here, but I remember when the ship was one of the ships was just really doing this hobby horse thing and just going up and down and up and down, and even the cruise director was turning green, you know, and you know it's bad then because they're used to being on a ship, and you look down the hallway and every foot there's a little paper bag, and that's for you to grab in case you get sick and you need to do something to feel better. But the ships do prepare for these sort of things. It's just it's as much a surprise to them sometimes as it is to everybody
Absolutely.
Else.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having
Angel,
us. Thank you.
Dr. Lee, thank you very much. And thanks for joining us. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do. You can do that at iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, any of these places where you get this podcast, What the Hell, and we'll wait all together now.
What the hell?
And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.